Saga Egmont presents The Child Between Us by Alison Ragsdale, read by Paula Masterton. You know full well as I do the value of sisters' affections. There is nothing like it in this world. Charlotte Bronte. Prologue. It is the sweat that wakes me. The unnerving, clammy trickle between my breasts as I begin to pant, the air in the room seeming to pulse around me. My hair sticks cloyingly to the back of my neck as I throw the covers off. Isla, my twin, the other half of my heart. Your name floods my mind, along with images of us together as children, giggling as we kicked each other under the dining table, making indoor tents out of old sheets and riding our bikes along the river at Dunkeld. Next, I picture us huddled together, freezing on the shore at Loch Lomond, as Mum and Dad with ruddy cheeks and matching bright smiles coaxed us into the icy water. Born only minutes apart, we were inseparable. And yet I felt like a protector, a parent rather than a sister for much of our lives. Even though I was a child too, I felt responsible for you. Then, I see you curled up at the end of my bed on our 17th birthday, after I found you trying to take those pills. You were crying, hugging your knees to your chest, your painfully thin arms wrapped around your shins as you rocked yourself. I never knew what to do when you got like that, when the heavy blanket of depression that hovered behind you took you over. Sometimes I resented the way Mum and Dad wrapped you in cotton wool, the constant allowances they made for you, when I was expected to just understand. Then, overtaken by guilt for my lack of compassion, I would lavish you with love and try to make you believe how special you were to us all. When your face would turn pale and you'd cry for no apparent reason, I thought if I tried to make you laugh, held you close and sang to you, it would take away the hurt of that darkness buried deep inside that tortured you so profoundly. I was naive and too easily persuaded by you to paper over the cracks that those episodes would leave on your heart for a lifetime. I even agreed to keep your secret from that awful night, not telling Mum and Dad, despite knowing I should. Now, still trembling, I sit up in bed, my heart rattling in my chest. Then I whisper your name. Isla, where are you? It has been almost 6 years since I've seen your face, an exact copy of my own. We have the same deeply waved mop of red hair that hangs below our shoulder blades, matching moss-coloured eyes, full lips, and high cheekbones dusted with freckles. We are identical in every way, on the outside. It seems like yesterday, when you left me that cryptic note at my studio, saying that you were sorry, but that this was the only way you could survive, before you disappeared. Suddenly, my breathing becomes laboured and I shove the duvet away and stand up, stumbling blindly towards the window. Stuart is asleep, his left arm and leg dangling over the edge of the bed and his mouth agape. His messy, blonde curls obscure the chocolatey eyes that initially pulled me into his nocturnal, musical world, as he snores softly into the pillow. He even sleeps messily, and I tut loudly as I trip over yet another abandoned shoe. As I reach the window, I turn to face the bed, the windowsill hard against my hip. Isla. I scoop my hair up into my hands and hold it away from my clammy neck, and suddenly, with a choking certainty, I know that you need me, even more than you did on that night when we were teenagers. I have to find you. I close my eyes, willing you to send me a signal for our thoughts.